Welcome to today's Hearthstone Let's Talk Pella. I'm Andrew Schneider. Pella Enlightened area native Jesse Van Monen joins us on today's program. He's been studying medicine since graduating from Pella Christian in 2008 and recently recovered from the coronavirus after working as a surgical resident in Chicago. Well, Jesse, we are talking after some very unusual circumstances at a time now where many people have been in their homes for a month or longer due to COVID-19. And you were on the front lines of fighting this virus and actually caught it yourself as a medical professional. First of all, kind of give us some background how you got into that situation and when you first found out that you had the coronavirus.
Absolutely. So as part of the general surgery training from South Dakota, as is typical in most Midwest cities, most of the trauma experience that we get is blunt trauma, car accidents, falls, things like that. And so one of the rotations that we have in surgical training to get a little more exposure to some of the penetrating gunshot and knife wound injuries is to go to Chicago for two total months through our 60 months of surgery training. And so I was in the month of March over in Chicago, staying downtown in essentially a dorm across the street from the Cook County Hospital. And I suppose that's where I got the exposure to coronavirus. This was, you know, as I said, in March. And so a lot of the excitement around shutting the cities down and closing bars and restaurants and even hair salons and things of that nature was just starting to ramp up. And the city essentially was on lockdown, but trauma doesn't stop. And so healthcare providers obviously still have to be in the hospitals. And although there was less, you know, hustle and bustle in the city, things were still busy for us. And so in some way, I must have encountered somebody, you know, with the disease, either in the hospital or even the week prior when they hadn't shut the city down and I was enjoying the pizza of Chicago and, you know, some of the things that the city can offer. I don't know for certain that I had an exposure that was obvious to me. We were obviously taking precautions in the hospital to try to limit exposures to healthcare providers. But when people come in your trauma bay after a car accident or a gunshot wound, there's, you know, you don't necessarily stop to ask those questions. You just dive in to take care of their needs. And so in some way, I got an exposure and certainly came down with it. So I can't pinpoint exactly how that happened, unfortunately.
Well, that's probably been the case for a lot of people is how this happens, a lot of asymptomatic transmission. So take us through what it was like then, because it seems like that for a lot of people, for most people, they have mild to moderate symptoms that probably doesn't require hospitalization. You know, at what point did you realize this was a possibility? When did you get tested? And ultimately, what was that 2 to 3 weeks like when you did have the virus?
Yeah, so you make a couple of great points, and I'll hit on those here. I think it was the 22nd of March, 21st of March, rather. So that was a Saturday morning. Interestingly enough, the Friday night before, I was sitting in my dorm across from the hospital. I had worked the previous day and through that night, and so I was on a post-call rotation set where I didn't have to work at all the rest of that day because I'd just been in the hospital for 28 or 30 hours. And so I was just kind of enjoying the afternoon and wishing that it wasn't Friday in Chicago with everything shut down, because I was looking forward to trying to get some pizza or, you know, maybe go downtown, see the city, and felt really good on Friday. Went to bed Saturday morning, the 21st of March. I woke up with a constellation of symptoms that hit me like a ton of bricks. Everybody's feeling this thing differently, from being totally asymptomatic, never even having a symptom but carrying it, to, you know, mild cough, mild fevers, just only maybe loss of taste or smell and nothing else. But I woke up Saturday after feeling really good Friday night to horrible muscle aches. From head to toe, everything hurt. I had a hard time even bending over to get dressed, which was really weird for me. I had a terrible headache, which I sometimes get headaches, and most of the time they're caffeine induced or lack of caffeine. So I didn't know if that was really something to blame. And I had I just felt warm. I didn't have a thermometer with me, so I didn't know if I technically had a temperature or a fever. And then just a really dry cough that wasn't productive, wasn't bringing anything up. That's just kind of what I woke up with. I just felt really, really tired. And I hadn't had an eventful evening because we were stuck in the dorm. So I kind of took the day that day sort of easy, took some Tylenol, ibuprofen, didn't feel any better. My muscle aches were the worst thing. The muscle aches and the headaches persisted for probably a straight week, and it didn't matter what I took or what I did, nothing got better. But later in the evening of the 21st, I finally just contacted the trauma surgeons that I worked with at the county hospital, because we had been told, you know, look out for symptoms. You shouldn't be coming into work if you have these things. You should probably get tested if you do, because exposures are high here. So on the evening of that first day, I went and got tested. I didn't get symptom, or I didn't get results back until about 24 hours later. So I stayed away from work. Somebody covered my shift. And, you know, the Department of Health called and the hospital called and all these. I was on the phone for probably 3 hours with different health departments and committees in the state of Illinois, because once I tested positive, I was a statistic they needed to follow on. So I started the quarantine basically at that time. The worst days, at least for me, and again, like I said, everybody's feeling things differently. Days number 3 and 4 were really terrible, started to get better, and then days 6 and 7 peaked again, probably as bad as day 3 or 4. And then following day 6 and 7, things kind of settled down. Like I had mentioned, my worst symptoms were the body aches and the headaches. I never had a productive cough. I was never short of breath, which is a blessing. But I had those two things I mentioned. And then I also developed this loss of taste and smell. I never had any nasal congestion. And so it's not like a cold on a regular winter where you just blame your blunted sense of taste on the fact that you're full of mucus. My airways are totally open and I couldn't taste or eat any or taste anything or smell anything. Everything I ate tasted like cardboard. Everything I drank tasted like water. And that lasted for probably a solid week. The thing started slowly coming back, and they're back finally now. So that was an odd thing, but we're realizing that since this virus takes up most of its initial infective nature in your airway and in your nasal passage, just because of the respiratory spread and the droplet spread, that they think that it's due just to the virus replicating heavily in that area that knocks out your sense of taste and smell. But it comes back, which is a good thing. So yeah, I mean, I really had symptoms probably for a good, I would say 13, 14 days. You know, the cough sort of lingered very mildly at the end. And I don't think that was because I was still infective, but mostly because I'd sustained an acute lung injury from the virus and things were just getting better. I feel great now. Now we're almost a month out, and I'm not retesting. Nobody's retesting to get, you know, shown to be negative. They're just obviously recommending the full quarantine time and wearing masks and washing hands a ton and trying to stay away from people. So when I got tested for positive results, it was towards the end of the month. And obviously I wasn't going to go back to Cook County and work any further, because I had a positive test. So I drove myself back to South Dakota on a day that I didn't feel overly terrible, and finished my quarantine here. I'm married and I have a 2-year-old son, and they have family that lives in Chicago or in the suburbs of Chicago. And so when I came over there to that rotation, they went and stayed at her family's house and essentially just stayed there while I quarantined here in South Dakota by myself. Until I've, you know, been cleared to go back to work and sort of not infective anymore. And then they came back just a day or two ago. So I had the very lonely house to myself for about 2 weeks while I recovered, but glad to have everybody back together for sure.
This is probably one of the challenges I think that we've heard a lot about is here in Marion County, we haven't seen a lot of cases yet, confirmed cases, overwhelming of hospitals and things like that. But one of the challenges is when the doctors get sick, well, what happens then? What is your plan to return to work knowing that you're trying not to infect other people? You may be in a unique position now where you're immune and can help different people. I mean, how does that return to work come back for you knowing that you still have to help people that aren't having the coronavirus, that do have trauma, that do have those other issues, that is the reason why we're worried of overwhelming our hospital systems?
Yeah. You know, as a surgery person, you know, I am in a unique situation whereby I'm not in the emergency department seeing every patient that comes in with a concern for coronavirus or fevers, coughs, you know, the things that they tell you to look out for. And most of my day-to-day work revolves around surgical care. And so in a way, I'm a little bit sheltered from I don't know if you could say the front lines. I mean, anybody that works in the hospitals, from the ED providers to, you know, the custodial staff, is on the front lines in a building that's no doubt filled with coronavirus. But I don't necessarily see them come in the door with those complaints initially for their care, just because of the specialty that I'm in. With that said, you're absolutely right. You know, how do you go back and protect yourself? And then I think the bigger question is, how do I go to work now that I'm probably immune, although they don't really have antibody tests that are commercially available yet to see if I actually am. I would assume that I am because I'm recovered. How do you go to work and then be around that disease? And if I'm not going to catch it anymore, you know, it does give me almost a false sense of invincibility, because I may not catch the disease, but I may be carrying it with me. And then I come home to my family every day. And I think that's an equally as large, you know, as big a question in terms of wanting to do the right thing and wanting to be responsible. I was been cleared to go back to work. The residency that I'm part of, and most residencies in the country, are now on sort of a disaster emergency scheduling protocol, where we actually have about half of the residents be sort of isolating themselves at home, not because they're sick, but because they aren't sick, actually. And then the other half of the pool is working for a week, and we rotate a week on, a week off, a week on, a week off, so that if people do start to get sick, we have a group of healthy people who have been isolated away from others that can pull in and replace those that start to get sick. And so I'm on my off week right now anyway. We'll go back next week and start working again. Our hospital and most hospitals are doing a lot of, you know, attempts at catching things early, things like taking your temperature when you first get to the hospital and work. And then if you have a fever, they, you know, send you to the next screening tool, essentially trying to keep symptomatic people out of the hospital as much as they can. Obviously, tons of hand washing, good hygiene otherwise, and then wearing a mask, I think, all the time is helpful. You know, you see people out in the community with masks on, whether they're cloth or paper surgical masks, and about half the people I see in Sioux Falls are doing it, maybe half aren't. And we do know that even though that doesn't do everything, it does do some good in terms of transmission spread, especially in a place like a supermarket where you're bound to be within, you know, a short distance to people. And even that, you're touching things that other people have touched who may or may not have it on their hands. And then even if you have a mask on your face, it'll remind you not to go and touch your nose or touch your eyes or touch your face. And so you might be 6 feet from people, but you can still transmit this thing. And so I think the hospital's ready to have me back. I'm certainly ready to go back to work because I'm getting stir crazy at home, having been quarantined for a while. But I think more than the question of how do you go back to work and not spread around the building, I think is how do you go to work and not bring it back home, especially if you don't think you're going to pick it back up again, since I think I'm immune. That's a hard question. I haven't exactly decided what we're going to do as a family in terms of trying to keep Jenna and Riley safe. The hospital is set up pretty well to have the precautions that we need to keep spread limited, but it's hard at home. And that's for every healthcare provider to have to answer that question. Because even though, and like you said, it's very fortunate that Marion County has so few cases. If we had wider spread testing, there would be many more cases. And I say that as fact, not opinion, because we do know that a lot of people are asymptomatic carriers, or even people just get a loss of taste and smell, or transient loss of taste and smell only, and only have that symptom and maybe a small runny nose. And so we know that it's more prevalent in everywhere. We just don't have the testing to find that out. And so I think really good, you know, recommendation following is helpful, but it's out there, and we're not going to necessarily know the full prevalence or incidence ever, and unless we tested everyone. And I just don't think that's feasible or really that responsible. So some hard questions to answer.
Is there anything else that you feel like you want to pass along?
I would just say, you know, there's a lot of media fear mongering. And although this is a huge problem, this is a big deal, and this needs to be taken seriously, you know, I just like to encourage people when I talk to them about it that it is transient. Number one, we're going to get over this. It's going to be a thing of the past. Number two, when stores start opening, when restaurants start opening, we might see a spike again. And so, you know, just knowing that ahead of time, because new people are out and about moving around, it's possible things kind of ramp up again. And so I think that's important to know just from a this could happen standpoint. But number three, don't believe everything you see on Facebook and on blogs. You know, there's good, credible sources out there. They exist. And then there's a lot of people with opinions about what to do and what not to do. And it's not based on anything true. And all it does is perpetuates fear. And I don't think that helps us get through this. So I would just say, honestly, knowing about things, keeping up to date is great, but probably the less people can spend sitting and reading articles that others have shared over and over and over again is probably the best for everyone's mental mental state in this setting. So we'll get through it. As long as we're all on the same team, working together and following recommendations, I think that's the most important.
That concludes today's Hearthstone Let's Talk Pella. Hearthstone, a ministry of Wesley Life, supporting the health, independence, and well-being of older adults in Pella.